This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll wrap up Hebrews with the shepherd of the sheep and begin Romans, the obedience of faith, mutual faith strengthened, not ashamed of the gospel, and the revelation of wrath. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Mr. President, St. Paul in the Bible exhorts us to pray for our leaders, and that we do every Sunday.
Isn't it ironic? Today we have some human being that's supposedly supposed to show that we're primitive and ape men, named after a man who apparently understood the creative work of God in creating us and everything else.
Theologians are not theoretical physicists. We're not looking for new ways of understanding what God has revealed. We know what He has revealed. So creativity's great. Novelty, no.
When you wait, then there's two ways that you can wait. You can wait with fretting, or we wait with this sort of expectant, hey, it's not my job to decide when this is up. It'll be up when it's up. That's God's decision and His rule.
Missouri dairy farmers love issues, etc.
We hear this phrase, random acts of kindness. It's meant to be a counterpoint to random acts of violence. What does kindness mean to us today? It means be nice. It means being polite, being civil, being considerate. There are all kinds of ways of describing it. It's not a really strong word, kindness. It just means kind of not being a jerk. And if you're not a jerk, then you can get along with other people, maybe even go along and get along with other people. Now, when Scripture uses the word kindness, especially when it refers to the kindness of God, and it does quite often, it has to mean more than just don't be a jerk. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that word, kindness. Our series on the words of Scripture continues. Pastor Will Wheaton joins us. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the daily 15-minute Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you.
This word kindness is ordinarily, at least in our modern way of thinking, an attribute that belongs to us, that it's kind of, you know, just being nice, being civil, and basically not being mean. There has to be more to it in Scripture than just that.
Yeah, for sure there is. And the very fact that St. Paul lists it as one of the fruits of the Spirit, again, teaches us that it primarily is an attribute of God Himself. And that means we can look to God in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, and ponder His life and actions and words, and we'll see that kindness and nice or polite do not actually cohere together here. There's going to be a distinction as we go along. It'll be pretty evident. So, yeah, but it is very much a word that is, I think, abused. People say be kind, and what they mean is, you know, don't ruffle anybody's feathers. That's not what the biblical word means.
So where would you take us first to start talking about it as a attribute that belongs primarily and rightly to God, and then later that we live in and from as children of God? Where would you take us first for kindness as a divine
attribute? This one is going to be, it's a bit of a challenge exactly where to start. I do want to actually begin at Luke 6:35, but before we do, I wanted to add in very briefly, note 1 Corinthians 13:4. When we talked about the fruits of the Spirit last time, if people remember this, we kind of noted that these words kind of work best when we see them all as different aspects of love. It's almost like love is this The love of God is like a diamond that you can take and hold up to the light, and it flashes forth as you turn the diamond in your hand. You see from different facets the light that shines from it. That's kind of what all of these things are. You think about love itself as the core one. God is love. Then turning it and looking through it, you see, oh, and love also is peace and patience and joy. And now we see it's kindness. 1 Corinthians 13:4 adds, love is patient and kind. So love itself is kind. God as love is himself kind. So then I wanted to go to Jesus' clear teaching on this in Luke 6, verse 35. This is in the so-called Sermon on the Plain in Luke, which kind of parallels roughly, but not exactly, Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And in that verse, Jesus says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. And these are the pivotal words. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So what does it mean that God is kind here? I think it would be fair to hear it in it like two components. First, there is in him a favorable disposition. And this disposition, it's not affected, it's not changed by the worthiness or unworthiness of its object. And secondly, that this internal disposition in God actually leads him to doing acts of goodness toward that object, whether it's worthy or unworthy. So benevolence that seeks to bless, that's probably the most narrow I could kind of bring it down there. Jesus makes it plain that this kindness of his Father is grounded in his Father's being, manifested in his Father's deeds, and it reminds me very much of the way Paul spoke to the crowd at Lystra. Do you remember that? He did done one of his miraculous healings there. And the crowd becomes convinced that Paul and Barnabas are Zeus and Hermes, right? They figure that Paul has to be Hermes because he's the chief speaker and Barnabas is Zeus. And they want to, the priest of Zeus comes to offer sacrifice to these guys. And Paul's like, whoa, stop. We're men just like you. And then he tells them, look, God did good to you. He showed you his kindness. He gave you rain. He gave you fruitful seasons. He satisfied your heart with goodness. I would call that what we might... Does this make sense, Todd? First article, kindness? You know, it's a constant proclamation of scriptures about the goodness of the Creator. It's an ongoing reflection on his, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good about the creation. He just continues to provide his creatures with everything they need. This is kindness on his part. Even when his creatures are fallen and even in rebellion against him, he's still being kind to them. He still causes his sun to rise and his rains to fall.
It's provision, mm-hmm. But it sounds so distant, like a God could just flip a switch and say, I'm just going to keep the food chain rolling or something like that. But you're saying mm-hmm. that what we usually call providence is in fact God's kindness being expressed to his whole creation out of this, not just the Creator's heart, but a loving Father's heart.
Right, exactly. That's what Christ reveals. And then you see this sort of picked up in the Psalter. If we can, one of my favorite Psalms in all of the Psalter, it's like, how do you pick them out? There are so many really good ones. But Psalm 145 is just an amazing psalm. And in verse 13, at least in some manuscripts, you have this phrase, the Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. And similarly, at 145, verse 17, The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Indeed, earlier we heard, the Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. I mean, this is reflecting on this entire goodness of the Lord that I like to think of as first article goodness. And I think that's also on display in Psalm 103, even though that does have a resurrection sort of tilt to it. But, you know, it details God's benefits. So we might call them, instead of benefits, what are benefits? But kindnesses, right? That He's the one who forgives all our iniquity. He heals all our diseases. He redeems us from the pit. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. And he satisfies us with good things. And when he summarizes, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, what is David saying in that but that God is kind to us?
You would also remind us of, and this is perhaps an unlikely place to go, but in the book of Ruth, in the second chapter, what is there of God's kindness?
Yeah, this is one of the more interesting ones. Remember the whole story, the setup with Naomi going to Moab during time of famine and with her husband and her two sons, and how she lost her husband and she lost her two sons, but not before they got married. She comes back to the land of Judah finally with her one daughter-in-law, Ruth, who would not be parted from her in tow, but they're impoverished. They have nothing. She even says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Same as the word for Mary, call me bitter, empty. I left full and I'm coming back empty. And as Ruth goes out, she, to try to scrounge food, she ends up actually being shown kindness by a relative of her husband and of her father-in-law named Boaz. And he's actually in the line of Christ's lineage. So in 2:20, when Ruth comes back home with, a pile of grain that has been given to her by Boaz, and she immediately, her mother-in-law breaks out into a benediction of God. She says, may he, that is, may Boaz, be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. So she's referring to God's kindness being shown to Ruth for the sake of her dead husband and her dead father-in-law by Boaz. But she confessed that the kindness itself came from the Lord that Boaz was demonstrating. If the Lord is kind to all, then to be in his image is going to be kind. So recognizing that the kindness we receive from each other is also ultimately a kindness that comes to us from God. Luther liked to talk about how we are God's masks, right, his larvae, and that through the kind things that we do for one another, it's actually God himself being kind to us.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're talking about the word kindness in Scripture in our series on the words of Scripture. When we come back, kindness in the book of Hosea. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Grace, faith, Scripture and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of Western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons. Preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word kindness in Scripture. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or online at cph.org. Well, that brings us to a passage in Hosea that you wanted to look at. What does Hosea have to say about kindness?
Yeah, Hosea really focuses on kindness and on love, and love as being kind. If you think about Hosea's treatment of his wife Gomer, you recognize he treats her with enormous kindness. So 11 verse 4, you know, and then of course God applies that as a parable almost to his relationship to Israel. And so in Hosea 11:4, God says of Israel, I led them with cords of kindness, talking about as he led them out of Egypt. I led them with bands of love. So cords of kindness. In other words, you get this picture of God's like grabbing a hold of his people and tying them to him and saying, you are mine and I am yours and I'm going to do good by you. That's great kindness. Now, kindness then is not to be equated with being nice, as in being polite. You know, that means usually doing the socially acceptable thing. The truth is, people loved by God, that God is not nice, but he is kind. He doesn't give a rip about most social conventions of his fallen creation, but he does care deeply for his fallen creatures, and he shows that deep care in deeds of kindness toward them and in arranging their lives to be such that they're constantly receiving from others his kindness, and they themselves become his masks to share his kindness with others.
In Romans chapter 2, there is this verse where he's talking about the judgment of God that has come upon and will come upon the earth. And then he asks rhetorically, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? What is the apostle saying there?
Well, you know, we looked at this last time when we were talking about patience, because patience is part of this verse too. But it's key that it's actually God's kindness which is leading, which is tugging us toward repentance. I think this passage is almost a reflection on one from the Apocrypha in Wisdom chapter 11, verse 23, which, by the way, forms part of our Ash Wednesday liturgy, at least historically. Listen to this quote. But you, talking to God, you are merciful to all, for you can do all things, and you overlook people's sins that they may repent. So his kindness, you see, It's aimed at our repentance. And that always means it's aimed at our return to Him and finding in Him alone our true life. So it's never indulgence in the sense of like, your sins don't matter. That's not how He treats it. It's always kindness that I want you to come home to me.
We need to be careful here because our Lutheran confessions explicitly reject an idea that was put forth during the time of the Reformation. Luther had lost a lot of hair over this one. And that is that the gospel is a message of repentance. It was put forth by Agricola. Sort this out for us, because it does say His kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. How is it not to be understood as somehow the gospel preaches repentance?
Well, you have to remember that for Lutherans, there every single term, you have to ask, how is that term being used? And we usually distinguish between a wider and a narrower use. And so in its wider use, repentance actually means the whole of salvation, how God pulls you back to Him. And that's the intent that you're having Paul use there in Romans 11. In its narrow sense, repentance, the preaching of repentance, has to do with the terrors evoked by the law that arouses the sinner and helps him first know for himself, I'm lost. I'm dead meat. What can I do? Nothing. I'm dead. And so despair and fear. And into that situation, then, the gospel comes as a preaching of forgiveness. And it's that forgiveness which then draws the person home. And frankly, the Hebrew use of the word tends more, I think, to be the what we would say the wider use, to be the whole enchilada and not just the really hot sauce part of it.
In Romans 11, this is Paul again saying, note then the kindness and the severity of God's severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. Sounds like more of the same there.
Yeah. So what we chiefly want to know in that passage is that God's kindness is something that He actually offers us to continue in. That is, to abide in, to make it our home, our abode, the place where we actually live. And He says, when we do that, you're under His kindness, which is what delights Him, as opposed to the severity, which says, I don't want the kindness of God, and I don't intend to give it out to anybody else. You're choosing then to be under wrath instead, the severity of God.
One of the most remarkable passages that mentions God's kindness actually puts it in the terms of the resurrection and eternal life with God, saying how He's kind of storing up kindness to pour out upon us for all eternity in Ephesians chapter 2.
Yeah, this is, got to be one of my all-time favorites too here. This is right before 8 and 9. I mean, all Lutherans know 8, 9, and 10, right? Or at least 8 and 9. But they should know Ephesians 2, 7, too. Paul writes, so that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That is, God is glorying there in the very mercy by which He saved us, and His grace is precisely a grace in kindness toward us, an undeserved kindness that is shown us in Christ Jesus. You can almost put it like this, being friendly toward us, being kind, benevolent toward us on account of His Son. And that becomes the treasury from which the Christian lives his whole life.
Then there's a mention of God's loving kindness. That sounds very Old Testament to me. In the lead up to Paul's great exposition on baptism in the book of Titus.
Yeah, and the way the ESV translated is, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. I think, and of course our people know this pretty well from the small catechism in section 4 on baptism, but I think that first term, that's really the word for kindness in Greek. I'd render the passage more literally along these lines, but when the kindness and the love for mankind, I mean, the philanthropia of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. So that Christos word there, Christos, is the first term. When the kindness and the philanthropy of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. So the kindness of God is manifested most of all in this, that He sends among us a Savior who provides waters of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit so that we might be renewed and declared righteous in His sight and made heirs of a life that has no end. So, in other words, in the second and the third articles of the Creed, God carries forth the very same kindness which we learned about in the first article. And if the Old Testament is big on teaching us about that first article, the New Testament unpacks for us how in the second and the third articles, God continues to just dump His kindness down upon all of His creation, but especially upon humanity.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture. The word today is kindness. We'll talk about how it's something that God would have us live in and from after we revisit 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Stay tuned. Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
It's our series, The Words of Scripture, with Pastor Will Wheaton. Today, kindness. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Will, before we go on to talk about how Scripture presents God's kindness as something he calls us to live in and from, I wanted you to revisit 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. That usually is kind of presented a very trite way. Take everything that we've talked about so far and pack it back into that verse.
Well, as long as you remember that the love that's being described there is actually the person of Jesus Christ, you're going to not have silly notions about niceness running through your heads. Can we say it this way? Love, who is kind, will not hesitate to make a whip and use it on people when they're trying to sell what God gives for free. Okay? Love, who is kind, will not hesitate to point out sin to someone who is blindly judging another person and ignorant of their own. Remember in the reading that I read this morning in Treasury from Luke 7, the sinful woman in the house of Simon, the Pharisee, and Simon is just, you know, he's blind. All he sees is a sinful woman touching Christ, and he's like, you know, if this guy were a real prophet, he'd surely realize what kind of a person that is who's touching him. And Jesus does a very impolite thing. Of course, he always reads our minds. He reads exactly what Simon is thinking and responds to it out loud in front of everybody. It's like, oh, well, you know, you were my host, and I came here, and you gave me no water for my feet. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't welcome me. This woman, look at what she's done. She has been forgiven much, and you little. So, I mean, he does an impolite thing there. But that's okay, because it's a kind thing. It's because he loves Simon and loves the woman that he's able to actually do the thing that's not nice when it's actually for their blessing. I hope that clarifies that.
Now to talk about the kindness that God calls us to live in and from, you would begin in Genesis 40, this is kind of smack dab in the middle of one of the darkest moments of the Joseph story.
Yeah, I love that whole Joseph cycle. You know, it's got to be one of my favorites. And it's interesting to me that when hear the word kindness as Joseph used. Remember, Joseph in Genesis 40, in verse 14, he basically asks King James called him the chief butler. What do we call him in the modern versions? The chief cupbearer. He's like, hey, when you're restored, would you do me this kindness of remembering me to Pharaoh? Because I did nothing to deserve ending up in this prison. And even here in Egypt, I've done nothing to deserve this. Please remember me before Pharaoh. Do me this kindness. And I just want to sort of riff on that hey, is there, picture the remembering to Pharaoh, and of course, you know the story, that the chief cupbearer, the butler, he forgets about Joseph for a long time till Pharaoh has his dream. And then all of a sudden he remembers, oh my goodness, I forgot to speak a word in that guy's favor. And so he does then. And Joseph, of course, is freed and exalted. The thing that I find fascinating about that, though, is the connection with prayer, with kindness. In other words, when you are being kind to another person, you do them this favor that you remember them to the powerful ones. Well, how about to the most powerful one? You remember them before God. You ask God to remember them and be kind to them. Do me this kindness that you remember me before God. And so prayer itself becomes, I think, one of the greatest exercises of kindness that a person can do. You know, this is way, 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 way deeper than, you know, a Facebook post that says praying, you know, whatever. I mean, it actually means stopping to do it. It means you taking somebody else's hardship and trouble onto yourself and speaking to the one who has the power to address it and asking his mercy and kindness upon them. So, I mean, I know that's not the point of the Joseph cycle at that thing. It just reminded me of how in our prayers, we actually enact kindness. When we remember, and is there anything more unkind than not lifting someone up and placing them into the care and protection of God when we know of them being in a, you know, in a bad way?
So give us some context to the next passage you wanted to talk about in 2 Samuel 9, where we are introduced to Mephibosheth.
Yeah, I love this whole section. I mean, okay, let's set this whole thing up. Remember, David and Jonathan were tight. They were good friends. They were in covenant together. And they promised to be a blessing to each other. And remember, Jonathan knew that David was going to be the king. He knew that he would not succeed his father as king. And in fact, he fell with his father on Mount Gilboa, and the house of Saul basically lost the kingdom. And they lost it to David. So as David has established himself in the kingdom, he's now the ruler. He starts asking, and it's like, you know, gosh, I love Jonathan. He was my good buddy. Is there any of his kids left that I can show kindness to? And he discovers that there is one, and his name, Mephibosheth. Some places in the Bible, it's Meribaal. It's a linguistic difference. So Mephibosheth, though, he is being raised in a place called Lo Debar, which in Hebrew is like no word. And being raised in no word, you can imagine the kind of stories he was told and fed about David, the usurper, the man who destroyed your father's kingdom. You know, they weren't telling him about how David's kindness to Jonathan. I mean, none of that. The destruction of Saul and the loss of the kingdom were the main themes. But when David finds out, you know what? There's a son of Jonathan still alive, and he was lame. David says, let's go get him. Go get him and bring him here. So, I mean, you can imagine you're Mephibosheth, and how come David's chariots to your house door? And you're like, oh, no, he's going to finish me off just like he finished off everybody else in my family. And when David instead hauls him up to the capital and says, dude, you got a place at my table forever. I loved your father. I'm going to love you just like that same love, the kindness that your father showed me. I'm going to show to you. I receive you as a gift from God. And I wish we had time to truly unpack. I mean, if you think through that typologically, you realize how much David there is actually stepping in for Christ. Christ, who actually declares to the rebels, I got a place at my table for you. Come home. You know? And we've been cowering in fear, thinking he's against us and out to destroy us. And he's like, it's out to destroy your enemies. I'm not out to destroy you. Great, great kindness. So I love that whole story. But David specifically asks several times in that chapter about, is there anyone to whom I can show kindness? Kindness for the sake of my covenant with Jonathan.
I saw the Christological implications a little differently when I was reading it. And that was, he's doing this for the sake of Jonathan. That is, it is because of his great love. I saw David as the father showing kindness to us for the sake of the one whom he
and loved. It works that way too, because that's also true. Absolutely true.
In Job, you have to sort through a lot of stuff in Job, because a lot of it's very bad advice that's been recorded by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to warn us away from certain things. But there are obviously very, very good things in Job. And in one of Job's discourses, I believe, in chapter 6, you found some kindness.
Yeah. Job, again, he's saying this in an impolite way in the presence of his friends, whom he's already declared to be worthless comforters. And he says, though, in chapter 6, verse 14, he who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. So I think that means there is an integral part of the fear of Yahweh, the faith of Yahweh, if you will, is passing on kindness, and certainly to those whom you would call friends, to those who are close to you. Again, we're not talking Facebook friends, you know, these strangers that you say yes to on the net. I'm talking about people that you actually know, who are friends. But when it comes to friends, I really believe we need to take a page out of my son David's playbook. I don't know if I've told this story on Issues before, but I'm going to tell it again. You know, we were living in Mebane, North Carolina, which, by the way, is the dogwood capital of North Carolina. It's absolutely beautiful, filled with dogwoods. And on our way home one day, it was a nice summer day, on the way home from the library, up ahead, there was, you know, another family that was walking in front of us. And David, he never shut up. I mean, we woke up in the morning and he was singing in his bed. And all day long, he talked at us. And I mean, when we sit the poor kid to bed at night, sometimes he'd say, "But I'm not tired." And we would say, "But we are tired of you. Please go to bed and shut up." So, I mean, we have a great relationship. It's amazing that it survived. But he starts immediately pulling on my, you know, my jacket there. And he's like, Papa, who is that up in front of us there? And you know, I was irritated already because of the flood of words that always came out of the little tyke's mouth. And I remember responding grumpily, "David, how am I supposed to know who that is?" And his response, "Well, you don't know, they might be a friend." I've never forgotten the lesson I learned there as I just kind of stop and shut my mouth and looked at my little boy. And I thought, out of the mouth of babes. Yeah. They might indeed be a friend, that stranger. They might have a claim on my kindness. Indeed, they do. And what a different world it would be if we all thought like little David at that time.
Our guest is Pastor Will Wheaton, host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Wheaton just started a study on the book of Romans, and I highly recommend that you listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Learn more at thewordendures.org or look for and subscribe to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with your favorite podcast app. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Psalm 141 and how, as Pastor Wheaton reminds us, God's kindness is not nice.
The world around us raises all sorts of reasons why Christ could not have risen from the dead. The April issue of the Lutheran Witness discusses how we can, in fact, know that Christ rose from the dead. Adam Francisco answers resurrection objections. Kirk Clayton explains how the Bible proves Christ's resurrection, and there's so much more. Here, Lutherans have an opportunity. For a world focused on fear of death and COVID-19, we can point them to the resurrected Christ. To learn more about this, visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll wrap up Hebrews with the shepherd of the sheep and begin Romans, the obedience of faith, mutual faith strengthened, not ashamed of the gospel, and the revelation of wrath. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Sanctifying your hobbies with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word kindness in our series, The Words of Scripture, with Pastor Will Wheaton. Pastor Wheaton, you said that earlier in our conversation, God's kindness is not nice. And that appears to carry over into that kindness we're called to live in Psalm 141.
Yeah. What a passage. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Well, here again we see kindness isn't niceness. It's not nice to hit. But when a righteous man strikes, says the psalmist, when he corrects me and rebukes me and disciplines me, that's actually a kindness. And it's rather like the Lord, who chastens not out of malice. He chastens not out of hatred. He corrects us and chastens us because he loves us. It's an act of kindness. And similarly too, I don't really quote it here, but similarly in Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Friends sometimes are called to speak words that are really hard to hear, but that need to be spoken. And that's the kind of thing that's, I think, the psalmist is talking about here. It also reminds you of that passage. Do you remember where the Lord sent the prophet and told a man, strike me? And the guy said, I can't do that. And the guy died. And he's like, he comes up to another man. He says, strike me. And that guy goes and wallops him one. And he gets a nice bruise. It was also that he could confront the king. And yet it was indeed an act of kindness to strike him because it was what the Lord told him to do.
Speaking of Proverbs, you have a series of passages from Proverbs that speak about God's kindness in us.
Yeah. So Proverbs 11:17, the man who is kind benefits himself, but the cruel man hurts himself. Or as the New Living Translation put it, your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. That's a good translation. So people tend to be kindly disposed towards someone who has been kind to them, right? I mean, that's no great aha. The Lord Jesus treats that as common heathen virtue, you know? But when the Christian puts it to use is when he's kind to those who don't expect kindness from him, and he surprises them with the act of care, with the act of kindness. And that end result ends up being a benefit. It actually accrues back. Okay, I want to share a weird story, but when I was a vicar, I remember we had a formidable church secretary when I first started. Oh my goodness, I misspelled the word bulletin, and there are no words for the scorn that were heaped. She's long since entered into glory. But I remember thinking, you know what? I really need to win this lady over. She was not impressed with vicars, let me tell you what. So I remember every single afternoon, I'd poke my head in the door and say, Mrs. Estock, I'm going home for a glass of iced tea. Can I bring you one? And, you know, that's for days on end, the response was, no. Thank you. With the implication being that, you know, you shouldn't be going home to get a glass of tea. You're here to work. Finally, though, persistence paid off. And I asked, Mrs. Estock, can I bring you that glass of tea? And after silence, I heard, yes, fine. I don't know why, but I do know after I brought that glass of tea in and sat down and had a brief chat with her. You know, hey, I'm not into small talk by and large, and I know I can come off as brusque, but I didn't have anything on Mrs. Estock when it came to that. She was like, you know, all work, no play. That's how we do it. But that day, she actually did crack a little. She smiled, and she talked just a little bit, but it was to my delight. And from that day forward, from that stupid, silly act of kindness, a glass of tea, she got so she would shoot the breeze ever so briefly. And, she was still no nonsense. And okay, we need to get back to work. But it was, I think it was a determination to be kind toward her that actually paid off in making our relationship be so much better. And in fact, when she actually ended up retiring, and this might also have been a factor for her, she was set to retire within a couple of months of when I started, I kind of missed her. I was like, I can't believe I'm thinking this, but you know, I really miss Mrs. Estock. Her brusqueness was actually appreciated. And so the point being, it makes sense. You end up benefiting yourself when you're being kind to others. It benefited me because she was being much more kind to me as a vicar when I was setting out to be kind to her. I hope that makes some sense.
Those other Proverbs passages?
Yeah, Proverbs 21, verse 21. Whoever pursues, that is, chases after righteousness and kindness, will find life, righteousness, and honor. Okay, I think this is huge, that he connected righteousness with kindness. So the person he describes here isn't setting out just to be obedient to God's law, to be tzaddik, as the Jews would say, but he also is chasing after, running after kindness. This is like St. Paul's twinning together of truth and love in Ephesians, right? Speak the truth in love. So we always say, hey, if you speak truth, but it's not in love, it's actually not true. And if you speak in love, but it's not true, it's actually not really love. So here, righteousness, that is being in the right with God, is connected at the hip with this kindness toward the neighbor. You know how St. John would put it in 1 John. You know, the one who says, I love God and hates his brother is a liar. If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, you're not going to be loving God whom you haven't seen. And then just briefly to touch down at the end of Proverbs, in Proverbs 31:26, where you have that incredible description of the ideal wife, she is described as opening her mouth with wisdom and having the teaching of kindness on her tongue. And the connection with the wife kind of reminded me of something I learned from Pastor Parviz years ago. He said, it's an old Jewish saying, when you're hunting for a wife, watch how she treats animals. I was like, what? He says, think of Rebecca watering the camels of Eliezer. Rebecca watering the camels showed that she didn't just care about the human being. Her kindness extended even to his animals. The ideal wife, says Solomon, is like Rebecca. She commends the practice of kindness, and she commends it by her actions, not just her words.
If anyone believes that justification by grace through faith alone is not found in the Old Testament, they could just go look at Micah 6, 6 through 8, and see it almost written out completely there.
Yeah. And it's the verse 8 itself is really one of the great summary passages. I don't know if you remember from seminary, but I remember when Dr. Hummel taught this. He said, you know, look at this. It perfectly. He summarizes here the entirety of the 8th century prophets and their message. So, you know, 6:8 runs like this. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? And then he lays it out. To do justice, that's the burden of Amos. To love kindness, that's the message of Hosea. And to walk humbly with your God, that's the message of Isaiah. So it's a beautiful recapitulation by Micah, who was a contemporary of Isaiah in the same southern kingdom. And notice how each term, though, is actually a description of God himself. He is the one who is just. He is the one who is kind. And he is the one who is humble. Our God himself is humble. Philippians 2, right? I mean, this is one of the most amazing facts about him. And so when we walk with him, that is when we do it his way, when we let his life be our life, it's going to be a life of justice, a life of kindness, and it's going to be a life of humility. And sort of similarly, just to touch on it very briefly, Zechariah 7 and verse 9 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another." Again, this same focus upon be kind and be merciful to each other and be fair in how you treat one another.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture. The word today is kindness. We'll be in Acts chapter 10 and 28 in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and we'll round everything off with 2 Timothy 2:24. We're talking about the kindness of God and that kindness as he calls us to live in it and from it. Pastor Will Wheaton is author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. We'll be right back.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the word kindness in our series with Pastor Will Wheaton on the words of Scripture. If you enjoy Issues Etc., then you simply must subscribe to the free online Issues Etc. journal. Each issue contains a column written by Pastor Wheaton or me and a Wittenberg Trail feature where authors detail their journeys to the Lutheran Confession. Subscribe by clicking the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Enter your email address and we'll send you a link to the latest Issues Etc. journal. Next, Will, you'd like to take us into the New Testament and in particular to Acts 10:33. What's there?
Yeah, that's just sort of, it almost comes across as an offhanded comment. This is the great passage where Peter's had his vision and he's trying to figure out what it means, and messengers arrive from Cornelius and say, please come. And Cornelius basically lays out the whole story to Peter when he arrives. And he does say to him, since you have shown this great kindness in coming to me, and coming to give him words of eternal life, of course, as the angel had commanded. Similarly, there, you know, in the end of Acts, in Acts 28, verse 2, Luke notes the unusual kindness of the people of Malta. How, when they had the shipwreck, Paul and Luke are there, and the ship is wrecked, and they lose everything, but they don't lose their lives. All the people on the ship are saved and come on land. And when they do, the people of Malta show them what Luke calls an unusual kindness. I mean, they really did take care of them and provide it for them, as though they were indeed apostles of the Lord, which they didn't know when they first received them. Ephesians 4, that's got to be one of the crucial passages in the New Testament about kindness. It begins, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's 4:32, Ephesians 4:32. Well, he's already laid out in Ephesians 2 that God is rich in grace and kindness. And now he's telling them, so because that's the God you've been baptized into, whose life you now share, you too share it. Be kind to one another. Let the kindness you've partaken of flow through you to one another. God's benevolence to them shapes their treatment of each other. And he follows the same tact in Philippians 4, verse 14. He does tell them, hey, you were kind. It was kind of you to share my trouble. I love that expression because that's what kindness does. It looks upon the other's trouble as your own. It doesn't just ignore the trouble. It actually goes out to meet it, bless it, and see if it can alleviate it. And then sort of like the final passage for all Christians is Colossians 3:12. He says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, literally in the Greek, bowels of mercies, kindness, humility. But listen to that language, put on. That is, it's not arising from inside of you. He's not saying scrounge up. He's saying receive as a gift from God, which he's reaching out to you, the gift of kindness, and grow then into your new resurrection duds in Christ. If you're clothed in Christ, you're being clothed in the one who is truly kind. He does then make this also be a special requirement in 2 Timothy 2:24 for the office of the ministry. He says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, and one who patiently endures evil. So we always point to that apt to teach as the unique qualification. It is the only thing that's sort of not required of all Christians in the list of requirements for being a pastor. But here he starts out, though, with don't be argumentative and be kind. And he specifies that is a kindness which is to go to everyone. It's out of bounds for the minister to be kind to some and indifferent to others.
So finally, Will, how would you summarize all of this as we've walked through Scripture, noting this word kindness?
Well, our God is kind and benevolent in himself, who wishes us every good thing, and in fact, provides even for the ungrateful and the unaware countless blessings every single solitary day. But all of his kindnesses, well, they all pale before the one that he did for us when he sent his son into our flesh. And then in our flesh, Todd, in our flesh, we get to see up close what kindness actually looks like. We get to see kindness at work. God's kindness, like I said, sometimes will wield a whip. God's kindness could not be put off because someone was deemed dirty. Instead, God's kindness reaches out and says, I will be clean. God's kindness didn't stop in the face of death, right? You know, young man, I say to you, arise, or take away the stone. God's kindness, most of all, could suffer and could die for the sins of mankind. But God's kindness could not be held by a grave. His kindness burst forth to lead his own into life. His life! And that means a life of love, a life of kindness. The life of the cup of water offered to the little child who is thirsty.
Pastor Will Wheadon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
He's host of the daily 15-minute Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever and author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain about the third use of the law in the solid declaration of the formula of concord. So our kindness may be kind of a weak and feeble thing, but God's is not. It is not weak, it is not feeble, it is strong, and is effective. It is, in fact, active. We talk about that random act of kindness, but God's act of kindness toward us is not random at all. It's one that he had been planning from all eternity, to be kind to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.